the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Please be seated. Let me take a moment to say a prayer for the preached word. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, spirits that are attuned to your holy word here in Scripture. God, speak through me and in spite of me. May you, Holy Spirit, illumine these words for us so that we might learn something new, and that the proclamation of this word will go like a seed deep into the soil of our lives. We are eager to learn, God. We are ready to hear. We expect to be challenged. We anticipate being edified. So work within us, God, as we, your people, have gathered here. We thank you for this opportunity to worship together, to pray together, and to hear your word proclaimed together. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Last week, we covered verses 10 through 12, and I just simply described who is the enemy. And Paul writes in verse 12, he reminds us that our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And in verse 11, just prior to that, he says, you are to stand against the wiles of the devil. So he simply tried to describe last week, who is the devil? Who is the enemy? And what are his wiles? What are his schemes, his plans, his plots, his methods of attack? Who is the enemy and what are his schemes? So we talked about that last week, and I came across some of John Wesley's words in his commentary on this passage. And he says about that evil day, he says, in the evil day, we're reminded, the war is perpetual, but the fight is one day less, another day more violent. The evil day is either at the approach of death or in life. It may be longer or shorter and admits of numberless varieties. But he says, there is a battle, there is a war. Be aware of the enemy and his schemes. And so as I read verse 12, this struggle, and Paul writes this word, this struggle word, it means literally like our wrestling, our hand-to-hand combat, isn't against flesh and blood, but against a formidable foe who's been around longer than we have, who is wiser than we are, who is more crafty and cunning than we are, who is more subtle than we imagine. This is who our struggle is against. How in the world do we stand against such a formidable opponent? How do we do it? And in verse 10, Paul writes this as he concludes the whole letter. He says, this is the important part. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Question, does any of that, any references to strength and might and power in verse 10, does any of that refer to your strength? It's not a trick question. No, not a bit of it. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. And what happens in verse 11? Put on what? The whole. All right, I'll give you one more try. I know you guys are just trying to get up to speed. So put on the what? The whole. Is it your armor? It's God's armor. Is it your strength? It's God's strength. Is it your armor? Just making sure we're... To stand against such a foe, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and put on his armor. Half the armor? The full armor. Put on the full armor of God. But here's my question. As I came to this, I've heard this. Who's heard this passage at least 50, 100 times? And who can recite the armor? And I would look through it and be like, awesome, yeah, that's really cool. But what does it mean? Like, how do I actually use the armor? I can say the belt of truth, but how does that actually function for me as part of my armor, as part of my defense, as part of my protection? How do I actually utilize the shield? I know what they are, but how are they actually used? Let's take a moment and just say and ask, what are these pieces of armor used for? How do they protect us? Ready? All right, so you guys got your Bibles out? Or can we get that up on the screen? I guess the first part, verse 13, if we can. Take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand on that evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Therefore, fasten, what's first? The belt of truth. The belt of truth. And some other translations describe it as girdle. And I'm thinking, well, I'm glad they translated it belt. You know, like, take up your girdle. I'm like, I don't really want a girdle. I'm glad they said belt. But this belt held all the armor together. So it came across your midsection and would also dangle pieces that would cover your groin area and the tops of your thighs. So this belt would come across your waist, all right? And Paul says, first, take up this belt of truth. Now, here's what we'll realize as we look through all these pieces of equipment. They protect us against attacks of the devil. And if we have the full armor on, we will be protected against the different kinds of attacks. Last week I said, how does the devil actually come against us? And usually it is not in a kind of exorcist, somebody's head spinning around and crazy, out of this world things are happening. Usually it comes through simple and soft and unassuming temptation and accusation, like whispers in the ear. Child of God, if you were a real Christian, you wouldn't be acting like that. Surely you should be further along now in your journey of faith. Or who are you to stand before the church and pray and talk? I know what's in your closet. There are skeletons. You see, whispers, accusations, temptations. The enemy is so uncreative, but usually all he needs is to know your Achilles heels. Are you subject to shame? He will come at you again and again and again with the same old stuff. You're no good. Who are you to act like you're worthy of salvation? I'm sure God would offer a gift of salvation to him or her, but you, really? If you are subject to that, it's like an old record. Or it might go the other way, and the devil will play on your pride again and again and again. I know some of these people need help and strength, but good thing you've got it all together. Do you see? Cunning and subtle and manipulative in one direction or the other. But the belt of truth, it is so basic. And what you can do then is trying to figure out how these pieces of equipment operate is to look back and see how Paul uses truth elsewhere in his letter. And this word truth first pops up in chapter 1, verse 13. And Paul writes, "In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." So the belt of truth that goes around your waist and holds all this stuff together is simply this, that you are secured in your understanding that the gospel is true. Has anybody ever heard this? Do you know how silly you look as a Christian? I mean, you really believe that stuff? A virgin birth? Come on. An old scripture? I mean, how do you know this Bible is really true? Or when you go out in public and say these different things, people are laughing at you because you look silly. Accusations, darts, arrows, simply designed at the most fundamental level of how you and I are Christian, which is to know that the gospel is true, that it actually happened, that God became flesh and walked among us and died on a cross in our place and was resurrected and is putting all things back together. The gospel is true. That is your belt. Understand when accusations of doubt are being thrown at you like darts piercing you. Your belt is the most basic of your defenses, the truth of the gospel. What is the second piece? The breastplate of righteousness. So it will come across your chest, hook into your belt area, be secured, tied down, this breastplate of righteousness. Now, once again, is this your armor or is it God's armor? It is Christ's righteousness. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes this is one of the go-to spots for the enemy against me. In struggling through sin, in being a believer, a man of God who is walking in accountability, trying to be committed to this way of life and to know what it is like to fall short. Anybody else? I mean, not the man of God part for everybody, but do you know what it is like to stumble in your journey of faith? And you hear, really? You made the same old mistake last time. And you think you can just walk back in asking for forgiveness? Again? Now, surely God's getting tired of you by now. Do you see? Not if you're tracking anybody. Does anybody else besides me face simple whispers in the ear? And our breastplate is simply this stance. Enemy, I'm not who I'm going to be, but I'm not who I was either. God is working an incredible work within me, and I know I am far from perfect, but I am headed toward the finish line. I have my eyes on the prize, and I have fallen short, yes, but it is not my righteousness. It is Christ's righteousness given to me as a gift. And God said, it's mine, and you can't take it away from me. The breastplate of righteousness. What is third? The shoes that make you ready, what it says actually, the put on your feet, whatever will make you ready to what? Proclaim the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace. We'll come back to this one in a minute. Just keep this in mind. But your shoes, as far as your armor, it's like boots and it comes up over your shins. So you have kind of like shanks of armor that come down off your waist, off your belt, down in through here, and your shoes would have like shin plates. You know, it's like you're playing soccer, except way more hardcore. And so it would come up and over your knees, these boots, all right? And he says, whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. We'll pick that back up in a minute. What are you holding on this arm? The shield of, follow along with it, the shield of faith with which you will be able to what? Quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You guys say that with me. With which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Darts. Other translations say missiles, which probably is more reflective. But it is piercing like out of nowhere. Where did that thought come from? Like I'm in the middle of worship and some kind of just twist, it just shoots through your mind like a dart. And this shield of faith simply absorbs the shots. And it is mindful that we are living by faith, but it is primarily Christ's faith, which was pure and unbroken, unfettered, and enduring. We are given the gift of faith that quenches the arrows. What comes next? You guys are doing great. What comes next? The helmet of salvation. Head, a pretty important piece, huh? Pretty important piece. And the way Paul uses this, these words first come up, especially in, well, it comes up in the very beginning in his prologue to kick off the letter. But it says, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And then in chapter 2, Paul reminds us, which we dug into much earlier, chapter 2, verse 5, even when you were dead through trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. In other words, this helmet that comes upon you is a 100% gift, and the accusations and temptations of the enemy towards a Christian will simply and always generally come in these kind of categories to make you want to work for your salvation, or to say, well, I'm saved, I'll go ahead and do whatever I want. It will be a manipulate. The enemy doesn't care. He can get you to go one way or the other, and either way, it doesn't matter. He can distort the gospel. But how salvation functions, especially in Ephesians, how Paul is referring to it is this. You have this helmet of salvation, which is based not on your work, but on whose? Christ's work. His death upon a cross. And by grace, a pure gift, you are saved. Pure gift. It's offered to you free. And it doesn't depend upon your work. But the enemy will always want to say, really? You don't read your Bible enough. You don't pray enough. You don't give enough. You're not holy enough. You're not this enough, fill in the blank enough. In other words, try and get you to work harder and move towards trying to earn your salvation. And your helmet is this piece of equipment that says, it is given to me as a free gift. I already have it, and it is Christ's work. It is Christ's faithfulness. And finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This final piece of equipment. And let's just take a moment to realize, what is the only piece of offensive equipment that we have? A sword. I mean, you could, I guess, smack somebody with your helmet or kick somebody or whatever else. And your sword could be defensive as well. But primarily, it is the striking mechanism. And it is not something that devours flesh and blood, but it is the Word of God. your most effective and most powerful tool in this battle, which is real and which is waging, is the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God. And when the enemy comes against you, whispering in your ear, you speak back the words of Scripture. Because you have the belt of truth on and you know that this is true. This is the gospel of your salvation and you've got it on. You're strong in it. And you speak back these words and you absorb arrows with your shield of faith, all of these different things. But you are equipped. And what does this do? First and foremost, the armor of God secures you in your relationship with God as a child of God, saved by the work of Christ on the cross and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Somebody give me an amen, just a little mini one. The enemy will always try to disrupt your primary relationship as a Christian, which is your relationship with God. And the armor serves to protect that most important relationship, your relationship with God. Now for this second little part, I need four volunteers. Yes, ma'am. Come on up. Did you raise your hand, Shelly? Come on up. Wade? No, Barry, you've already prayed. You've already prayed for us. Sorry. Oh, I thought you were getting... It's not that I don't want you. I was like, come on, Barry. I thought this person was getting up, but... There's a baby on board. All right, now let's give a hand, a round of applause for our volunteers. All right, so they've all got their armor on. So when the enemy is look like you've got armor, or like look fierce or something like that. You've got a shield in this one. You've got a shield. Are you left-handed? So you're right-handed sword, and you got your shield. So you're ready. You've got your boots on. You guys look awesome. I'm impressed. Now stand a little bit closer. Now the enemy, to disrupt a Christian's walk, will come primarily against you and your relationship with God in all the ways that I described. And so your armor secures and protects that relationship. I'm speaking fast again. I was told to talk slower. I'm sorry. Said, do you have Southern speed? I was like, well, kind of. It depends how excited I am. So you guys are protected in your relationship with God. But if I am the enemy and I can't get at Wade, where might I be able to get at Wade? Because where is Wade not wearing armor? In his back or on his side. But at the moment, if we are soldiers of Christ and we are wearing our armor, you do not go into the battle alone. No. You go in ranks, in lines. And Shelly and Barry are covering Wade's flanks. But as the enemy, check this out. Here's how you destroy a church. Barry. Why did I say? Oh, I was thinking, I got Barry on them. Yeah. I'm sorry, but my bad, Jerry. Jerry Castleberry. That's what I... Thank you. I say, Jerry, you remember that meeting last week? Wade was actually trying to plot against you. I'm just saying. And the whisper will be like, he wasn't just throwing it out there. There's actually a plan. There's a conspiracy. I'm just saying, be wary. Be wary. So you start going like this. Oh, Wade trying to, okay. So now, watch what ends up happening. If I am the enemy, if you are the enemy and you cannot penetrate the lines, here's what you want the church to do. Not stand against the enemy, which is the enemy, but begin to slowly stand this way against one another. If I cannot come against you as an individual in your relationship with God, what I can do then is plant ideas and lies and deception and manipulation within brothers and sisters in the congregation. And all of a sudden, instead of protecting one another's flanks, I then turn on the flanks. And how, listen, who's seen a church almost destroyed? And the enemy is back here like this. Oh my gosh, this is great. Not even having to do anything but whisper in our ears. And the enemy doesn't have to destroy us. We will destroy us. Oh my gosh. See it happen again and again. Again and again. Wade, Shelly is, she's actually turned her back on you. No, well, yeah, but Wade, that's what she says. But what she really means is, you just got to watch yours, you know. Does this make sense? The enemy needs us to turn inward. And if you are an enemy going to take a stronghold, what will you look for? You've got your maps rolled out, and you will say, let me look for the point of weakness. And that is where we will attack. And so now that we have opened up an opening in the line, what can happen? Pour on through. Who's guarding your back now? So you're in disarray. The enemy can destroy people and churches simply by getting us to believe that our battle is not actually against the enemy, but against flesh and blood, our brothers and sisters. Thank you very much. Let's... So here's the other piece, and this is the point I want to drive home, because you've probably heard that first part of the sermon, the armor of God. It protects your relationship with God. It makes you stand upon the faith and in the truth and all these things. But secondarily, and this is what I don't generally hear preached, I don't know if I ever have, your armor protects your brothers and sisters as well. And here's what happens. The enemy will come against you in whatever way is in whatever ways you are susceptible. Are you prideful? That is exactly the point of attack. Are you easily shamed? That will be the point of attack. Do you have heinous sin that you've never really gotten over? That will be the go-to again. And I mean, the enemy is so uncreative, it's ridiculous. But you will be standing there, and as the enemy will come against you, and you're reminded, no, the gospel is true. I stand in this, and I am a child of God by the gift of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. You cannot, enemy, you cannot knock me from this point. I am going to stand firm. But secondly, my brother and my sister on this side, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to. I'm not going to succumb to these ideas that this person is plotting. This person really has another agenda. No, enemy, I am committed as I am to Christ. I am as committed to my brothers and sisters, and we are that, brothers and sisters. And you will not penetrate our ranks, because we understand that our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is you. And we will stand as a family, which doesn't mean we will not have disagreements, but it does mean that we are committed to one another. Today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, next week, come back next month, enemy, and I will still be committed to my brothers and sisters. And do you know what the last thing the enemy wants to have created in the culture of a church? A culture where people go brother to brother, sister to sister, and speak directly to one another in truth and love. Because the enemy must have an environment of miscommunication and telephone games and gossip mills. He must. Because when I'm face to face with you and speaking gently and truthfully and lovingly, and we are here and we are close, we are united, what can the enemy do? But when we don't have that in place, the enemy loves to prey on, perceptions, ideas. Do you see how he looked at me? All of those things. So in picturing, so everybody stand up. Everybody stand up with me. And as Julie's going to be coming up and the band will be coming up. And if you're by yourself, you're gonna have honey, what's your name, sweetheart? That's my wife. You guys will have to double up some way. The armor of God, from your belt to your breastplate to your shoes, the gospel of peace. I didn't even mention those, but that is how you shift. I have shoes on that are ready to say peace. The wall of hostility is broken down. Christ is uniting us. And my only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit. And the sword and the Spirit, that is the one thing that unites us together as brothers and sisters. So our most powerful weapon against the enemy is the Spirit, which is also our unity. So link arms with your brother or sister beside you if you can. There, look at that. They're very good. Link arms. And let me just imagine this, being cloaked with this armor. Being cloaked with this armor. And what Paul doesn't say is, you will put on this armor and then begin flailing like a madman or a wild woman. You simply put on the armor and do what? You stand. You say, I'm not moving from this spot. I'm not moving from this location. My identity as a child of God is impenetrable. And my unity with my brothers and sisters is unbreakable. Enemy, as a church, we stand against you. Can I get a little amen there? So picture yourself, just close your eyes and picture yourself being clothed in this way, all right? As Julie begins to play, just picture yourself being clothed. I'm going to read back through it slowly. Finally, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not, it's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, brothers and sisters. Fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So brothers and sisters, with this full armor standing side by side in a place that's immovable, in a commitment to God and a commitment to one another, remain standing. Paul commands us to stand, but then there's this other word, to withstand. And what he implies then is that at the end of the battle, at the end of the battle, do you know how you've won or lost? You're still standing. And so battles will come, but we stand like this. And there's this promise that at the end of all the raging wars, you and I, in the power of Christ and in the unity of the church, will withstand anything the enemy throws against us. Can I get an amen? So repeat this after me. There's this part in chapter 4 where Paul tries to drive this home for us. He says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. So this is our sword today. This verse from chapter 4. And just repeat after me these sections. Paul says, there is one body. There is one spirit. One hope. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God. And I know that was a warm-up. That was pitiful, though. Like, you wouldn't scare, anybody. There is a real enemy, you know? And so we know how to use this armor or we don't. And we don't get to go, time out, ceasefire arrows. Let me put on my shield. It's like, we have it on or not. And the word is the sword. So we can do better. We can do better. This is like a war cry of unity with God and with one another. We have one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Amen and amen.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart I worship you.
Yes, Jesus.
All I have within me I give. In you, Lord, I give you my heart.
So brothers and sisters, go forth in the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not on your own strength, but in His strength. Not wearing your flimsy, pitiful armor, but the armor of God given to you as a gift. Forth in that strength, in that peace and protection. Amen.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.